He has that gene pattern which we Bene Gesserits covet for...
We know his attributes,
the Reverend Mother interrupted.
And we know the abomination, his sister Alia, possesses this gene pattern. But they're also humans, both of them. Thus, they have weaknesses.
And where are those human weaknesses? The face dancer asked. Shall we search for them in the religious arm of his jihad? Can the Emperor's Kizara be turned against him? What about the civil authority of the great houses? Can the Landsrat Congress do more than raise a verbal clamor?
I suggest the Combine Onet Ober Advance Mercantiles,
Edric said, turning in his tank.
Chome is business, and business follows profits.
Or perhaps the Emperor's mother, Skytail said. The Lady Jessica, I understand, remains on Caladan, but is in frequent communication with her son.
That traitorous bitch, Mohiam said, voice level. Would I might disown my own hands which trained her.
Our conspiracy requires a lever, Skytail said.
We are more than conspirators,
the Reverend Mother countered.
Ah, yes, Skytail agreed. We are energetic and we learn quickly. This makes us the one true hope, the certain salvation of humankind.
He spoke in the speech mode for absolute conviction, which was perhaps the ultimate sneer coming as it did from a Tlaloxu. Only the Reverend Mother appeared to understand the subtlety.
Why?
She asked, directing the question at Skytail. Before the face dancer could answer, Edric cleared his throat, said,
Let us not bandy philosophical nonsense. Every question can be boiled down to the one. Why is there anything? Every religious, business, and governmental question has the single derivative, who will exercise the power? Alliances, combines, complexes, they all chase mirages unless they go for the power. All else is nonsense, as most thinking beings come to realize.
Skytail shrugged, a gesture designed solely for the Reverend Mother. Edric had answered her question for him. The pontificating fool was their major weakness. To make sure the Reverend Mother understood, Skytail said,
Listening carefully to the teacher, one acquires an education.
The Reverend Mother nodded slowly.
Princess, Edric said, make your choice. You have been chosen as an instrument of destiny, the very finest.
Save your praise for those who can be swayed by it, Irulan said. Earlier, you mentioned a ghost, a revenant with which we may contaminate the Emperor. Explain this.
The Atreides will defeat himself,
Edric crowed.
Stop talking riddles, Irulan snapped. What is this ghost?
A very unusual ghost, Edric said. It has a body and a name. The body, that's the flesh of a renowned swordmaster known as Duncan Idaho.
The name, Idaho's dead, Irulan said. Paul has mourned the loss often in my presence. He saw Idaho killed by my father's Sardaukar.
Even in defeat, Edric said. Your father, Sardaukar, did not abandon wisdom. Let us suppose a wise Sardaukar commander recognized the swordmaster in a corpse his men had slain. What then? There exist uses for such flesh and training if one acts swiftly.
Atlaloxu Gola,
Irulan whispered, looking sideways at Skytail. Skytail, observing her attention, exercised his face dancer powers, shape flowing into shape, flesh moving and readjusting. Presently a slender man stood before her. The face remained somewhat round, but darker and with slightly flattened features. High cheekbones formed shelves for eyes with definite epicanthic folds. The hair was black and unruly.
A gola of this appearance, Edric said, pointing to Skytail.
Or merely another face dancer, Irulan asked.
No face dancer, Edric said. A face dancer risks exposure under prolonged surveillance. No. Let us assume that our wise Sardaukar commander had Idaho's corpse preserved for the axolotl tanks. Why not? This corpse held the flesh and nerves of one of the finest swordsmen in history, an advisor to the Atreides, a military genius. What a waste to lose all that training and ability when it might be revived as an instructor for the Sardaukar.
I heard not a whisper of this, and I was one of my father's confidants, Irulan said.
Ah, but your father was a defeated man, and within a few hours you had been sold to the new emperor, Edric said.
Was it done? She demanded.
With a maddening air of complacency, Edric said,
Let us presume that our wise Sardaukar commander, knowing the need for speed, immediately sent the preserved flesh of Idaho to the Bennett's Lalax. Let us suppose further that the commander and his men died before conveying this information to your father, who couldn't have made much use of it anyway. There would remain, then, a physical fact, a bit of flesh which had been sent off to the Tlaloxu. There was only one way for it to be sent, of course, on a highliner. We of the Guild naturally know every cargo we transport. Learning of this one, would we not think it additional wisdom to purchase the Gola as a gift befitting an emperor?
You've done it, then, Irulan said.
Skytail, who had resumed his roly-poly first appearance, said,
As our long-winded friend indicates, we've done it.
How has Idaho been conditioned? Irulan asked.
Idaho? Edric asked, looking at the Tlaloxu. Do you know of an Idaho, Skytail?
We sold you a creature called Hate, Skytail said.
Ah, yes, Hate, Edric said. Why did you sell him to us?
Because we once bred a Kwisatz Haderach of our own, Skytail said.
With a quick movement of her old head, the Reverend Mother looked up at him.
You didn't tell us that, she accused.
You didn't ask, Skytail said.
How did you overcome your Kwisatz Haderach? Irulan asked.
A creature who has spent his life creating one particular representation of his selfdom will die rather than become the antithesis of that representation, Skytail said.
I do not understand, Edric ventured.
He killed himself, the Reverend Mother growled.
Follow me well, Reverend Mother, Skytail warned, using a voice mode which said, You are not a sex object, have never been a sex object, cannot be a sex object.
The Tlaloxu waited for the blatant emphasis to sink in. She must not mistake his intent. Realization must pass through anger into awareness that the Tlaloxu certainly could not make such an accusation, knowing as he must the breeding requirements of the sisterhood. His words, though, contained a gutter insult, completely out of character for a Tlaloxu. Swiftly, using the Mirabasa placative mode, Edric tried to smooth over the moment.
Skytail, you told us you sold Hate because you shared our desire on how to use him.
Edric, you will remain silent until I give you permission to speak, Skytail said.
And as the guildsman started to protest, the Reverend Mother snapped,
Shut up, Edric!
The guildsman drew back into his tank in flailing agitation.
Our own transient emotions aren't pertinent to a solution of the mutual problem, Skytail said. They cloud reasoning because the only relevant emotion is the basic fear which brought us to this meeting.
We understand, Irulan said, glancing at the Reverend Mother.
You must see the dangerous limitations of our shield, Skytail said. The oracle cannot chance upon what it cannot understand.
You are devious, Skytail, Irulan said.
How devious, she must not guess, Skytail thought. When this is done, we will possess a Kwisatz Haderach we can control. These others will possess nothing.
What was the origin of your Kwisatz Haderach? The Reverend Mother asked.
We've dabbled in various pure essences, Skytail said. Pure good and pure evil. A pure villain who delights only in creating pain and terror can be quite educational.
The old Baron Harkonnen, our Emperor's grandfather, was he a Tlaloxu creation? Irulan asked.
Not one of ours, Skytail said. But then nature often produces creations as deadly as ours. We merely produce them under conditions where we can study them.
I will not be passed by and treated this way, Edric protested. Who is it hides this meeting from,
you see? Skytail asked. Whose best judgment conceals us?
What judgment? I wish to discuss our mode of giving Hate to the Emperor, Edric insisted. It's my understanding that Hate reflects the old morality that the Atreides learned on his birth world. Hate is supposed to make it easy for the Emperor to enlarge his moral nature, to delineate the positive-negative elements of life and religion.
Skytail smiled, passing a benign gaze over his companions. They were as he'd been led to expect. The old Reverend Mother wielded her emotions like a scythe. Irulan had been well trained for a task at which she had failed, a flawed Bene Gesserit creation. Edric was no more, and no less, than the magician's hand. He might conceal and distract. For now, Edric relapsed into sullen silence as the others ignored him.
"Do I understand that this Hate is intended to poison Paul's psyche?" Irulan asked.
"More or less," Skytail said.
"And what of the Kizarat?" Irulan asked.
"It requires only the slightest shift in emphasis, a glissade of the emotions, to transform envy into enmity," Skytail said.
And Chom?
Irulan asked.
They will rally round Prophet, Skytail said.
What of the other power groups?
One invokes the name of government, Skytail said. We will annex the less powerful in the name of morality and progress. Our opposition will die of its own entanglements.
Alia, too?
Hate is a multi-purpose, Gola, Skytail said. The Emperor's sister is of an age when she can be distracted by a charming male designed for that purpose. She will be attracted by his maleness and by his abilities as a mentat.
Mohiam allowed her old eyes to go wide in surprise.
The Gola is a mentat? That's a dangerous move.
To be accurate, Irulan said, a mentat must have accurate data. What if Paul asks him to define the purpose behind our gift?
Hate will tell the truth, Skytail said. It makes no difference.
So you leave an escape door open for Paul, Irulan said.
A mentat, Mohiam muttered.
Skytail glanced at the old Reverend Mother, seeing the ancient hates which colored her responses. From the days of the Butlerian Jihad, when thinking machines had been wiped from most of the universe, computers had inspired distrust. Old emotions colored the human computer as well.
I do not like the way you smile, Mohiam said abruptly, speaking in the truth mode as she glared up at Skytail.
In the same mode, Skytail said,
And I think less of what pleases you. But we must work together. We all see that.
He glanced at the guildsman.
Don't we, Edric?
You teach painful lessons, Edric said. I presume you wish to make it plain that I must not assert myself against the combined judgments of my fellow conspirators.
You see, he can be taught, Skytail said.
I see other things as well, Edric growled. The Atreides holds a monopoly on the spice. Without it, I cannot probe the future. The Bene Gesserit lose their truth sense. We have stockpiles, but these are finite. Melange is a powerful coin.
Our civilization has more than one coin, Skytail said. Thus, the law of supply and demand fails. You think to steal the secret of it, Mohiam wheezed, and him with a planet guarded by his mad Fremen.
The Fremen are civil, educated, and ignorant, Skytail said. They're not mad. They're trained to believe, not to know. Belief can be manipulated. Only knowledge is dangerous.
But will I be left with something to father a royal dynasty? Irulan asked.
They all heard the commitment in her voice, but only Edric smiled at it.
Something, Skytail said. Something.
It means the end of this Atreides as a ruling force, Edric said.
I should imagine that others less gifted as oracles have made that prediction, Skytail said. For them, Mektub al-Mila, as the Fremen say.
The thing was written with salt, Irulan translated. As she spoke, Skytail recognized what the Bene Gesserit had arrayed here for him, a beautiful and intelligent female who could never be his.
Ah, well, he thought, perhaps I'll copy her for another.
Every civilization must contend with an unconscious force which can block, betray, or countermand almost any conscious intention of the collectivity.
Tleilaxu Theorem, Unproven. Paul sat on the edge of his bed and began stripping off his desert boots. They smelled rancid from the lubricant which eased the action of the heel-powered pumps that drove his stillsuit. It was late. He had prolonged his nighttime walk and caused worry for those who loved him. Admittedly, the walks were dangerous, but it was a kind of danger he could recognize and meet immediately. Something compelling and attractive surrounded walking anonymously at night in the streets of Arrakeen. He tossed the boots into the corner beneath the room's lone glow-globe, attacked the steel strips of his stillsuit. Gods below, how tired he was! The tiredness stopped at his muscles, though, and left his mind seething. Watching the mundane activities of everyday life filled him with profound envy. Most of that nameless, flowing life outside the walls of his keep couldn't be shared by an emperor. But to walk down a public street without attracting attention, what a privilege! To pass by the clamoring of mendicant pilgrims, to hear a Fremen curse a shopkeeper,
"You have damp hands!"
Paul smiled at the memory, slipped out of his stillsuit.